So congratulations on your, this is your 35th album, is that right?
It's true.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, but
that's
it's
kind
true.
Of a milestone. I mean.
Yes.
So, you know, what do we get you? You get silver for 25, gold is 50. I've got a list here. I think, yeah, 35 is coral.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How do you feel about coral?
I like it. I'm a fan.
Well, it's a beautiful album, beautiful music, and I'm really struck by this title piece by Rautavaara, the Fantasia. Mm. So let's jump right in there and talk about your experience with him and his music. I guess you first were turned on to it in the 1990s, right, when you heard his
Concerto
for Birds. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I would really go on a hunt to when there were record companies or record stores and just search for every kind of music. And I came across his Concerto for Birds and Orchestra called Cantus Arcticus and was so struck by its beauty and color and use of actual live birds that he went to a preserve and recorded. And, you know, it was there that the seed was sort of planted. And 20 years fast forward, I was wondering what he was up to. And at the time, he was 85 years old. And I asked if he would be interested in writing a fantasy for violin and orchestra. And he immediately said yes. Mm-hmm. And almost soon after, he sent the score to me. And I ran to my studio and played through it and was just so struck by it resonating much like the Concerto for Birds and Orchestra. And I couldn't believe how magnificent this work was, and could not wait to play it for him. And he invited me to play it in his apartment in Helsinki. So I flew to Helsinki, and you know, when you're at that kind of that part of the world, it's so the air and the light is so different, and it's so pure, and there's so much nature to be seen and felt. You know, like there's just a majestic forces of nature in that part of the world. And, you know, this music really has those elements built into it. You feel the water, you feel the ocean, you feel the light, the northern light. After I performed the piece for him, he turned to me and he just said, "I really did write such a beautiful work." And I could not agree more.
Yeah. Well, I think he was probably complimenting you as well and your performance. Yeah.
There's such a soulfulness to his music that is so beautiful.
Well, you do so much with modern composers and commissioning new works. Out of curiosity, have you ever been surprised by a composer's reaction when you sit down with them the first time and go through a piece?
There's definitely a lot of things going on in the mind of a composer when they first hear their work. And it's really pretty standard that a composer makes many revisions until they're satisfied with what they imagined from the start. So it was really extraordinary to actually play this music for Rautavaara and for him not to even make one alteration.
Wow.
I mean, it was just complete for him from beginning to end.
Well, when you listen to it, and I've never been to Finland, but the way you're describing it and listening to his music, I get this vision in my head of this very kind of fantasy landscape in Finland. I've read that it's mostly forests there, but the Fantasia, the piece that he wrote for you, it sort of like unfurls like rolling fog, or there's something going on in the orchestra that you can't quite put your finger on, and then the violin comes in. It's really remarkable, remarkable music, a sound world that he creates.
Yes, it's very transcending in its beauty, and he was such a master colorist. Just like Ravel and Szymanowski, the other composers that I feature on this album, I found that they're all master colorists, and that's what I wanted to showcase.
Okay, well, let's talk about the two other pieces and how they fit into this, the Szymanowski violin concerto. I guess you could say Szymanowski, like Rautavaara, was, you know, an extremely interesting composer, sort of unique among Polish composers, the same way that Rautavaara was unique among Finnish composers. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I think after Chopin, I can't think of a more poetic composer such as Szymanowski, who integrated Polish traditional folk songs, and the mood is so romantic. It's just so romantic. It's breathtaking in its delivery. Lots of times when I'm actually performing the work, I'm just blown away by its beauty, and it has such a haunting spirit to the music as well. And he was so deeply influenced by his relationship with one of the great violinists, Paul Kochanski, who actually wrote the cadenza of the concerto.
Which is basically the third movement of the piece, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he was a pianist, was he not, Szymanowski?
That's right.
Yeah, so the violin wasn't necessarily
his cup of tea.
Well, he made it. He made it his cup of tea.
He did. He definitely did.
What's your history with that concerto? Have you been playing it for a while?
I have. I was invited to perform it in Poland the very first time, and I was just like kind of shaking in my boots because like it's like getting invited to play someone's national anthem, and I've performed it many, many times since, and lots in Poland, and so it's really an honor for me to be invited to play it there, because I just feel like there's such a deep kind of sense of poetry in his music, much like Chopin, that is so such a deep expressionism in the music that I really just am magnetized by.
Where does Ravel fit in then with these other two?
So Ravel, also being such a master colorist, this was really his only work for violin and orchestra. Of this fantasy that starts with a cadenza, which is basically a gypsy outpouring of their life and their hardships and everything that they've gone through, and the virtuoso fireworks that go throughout the piece are super fun to play, and they all kind of influenced each other in this oral sense of sound and mystery and exoticism, and color.
To what would you attribute your longstanding interest in new music and bringing new music to the world through your commissions? You know, you could easily choose to just go down the traditional route and play music that's in the repertoire, but you spend a lot of time focused on new works.
Well, several things. You know, I'm always, I just think back, like, if Rachmaninoff were around, if Chopin were around, you know, all these incredible composers, Ravel, I would just harass the heck out of them to write more for the violin. And it opens up, it opens my eyes and just my feeling for traditional music as well. It really, to work with living composers and to hear their ideas in person, right? You know, even just recently, I worked with Arvo Pärt, and I was working so furiously on his Fratres, which opens up with a cadenza as well. And he had this tempo marking in there that I thought was close to impossible, but I worked so hard to try to get it right. Yeah. And, you know, I was like on the verge of getting tendonitis and everything. And finally, he's sitting like 6 feet away from me, and I play it for him in front of the orchestra and the music director. And he turned to me and he said, "On Akiko, why did you play that so fast?" And I was like, "What? I thought you wrote that in the score."
Right.
And that was such a valuable lesson for me, because it just shows, like, Beethoven, Mozart, all these composers, you know, they write things in the music, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to follow it so religiously.
Yeah.
You know, you are basically a storyteller, and how you feel the story is what moves audiences. So that was a wonderful and very valuable lesson for me.
Yeah. Well, it has to be said that you also have such a wonderful following. That is great for the composers, that you're really giving them a voice to the people. So that's a wonderful relationship.
Well, all music was new at one time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hopefully this music will find its legs and live on for many generations after we're gone. So that's the goal.
Well, I guess it should be said, I don't know if we mentioned it, but Rautavaara died not long after he wrote this piece. It was one of his final works.
It was his final masterpiece, yeah. Yes.
Do you think that as he was writing it, did he have any sense of his own mortality?
You know, that's a beautiful question. Now listening to the work, I really hear it. It sounds like an elegy. And so I think, you know, he was working on a number of other pieces, but nothing finished like Fantasia. So I'm not sure if he could foretell his own mortality, his own future death. I'm not sure. But the feeling and the mood of this piece is so complete, and it's such a beautiful portrait of a beautiful soul.
The album is called Fantasia from AV Records, and we'll link to it from our website at WGTE.org. I want to thank you and Akiko Myers for this beautiful music, and also for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you so much, Brad.